One choice is the memory of your true home with God, symbolized in the course by the Holy Spirit. And the other is the thought of separation from God, or individuality, symbolized in the course by the ego. J anthropomorphizes the Holy Spirit and the ego in the course, and talks about them as though they are individual entities, but he also makes it clear that the ego is nothing more than a part of your belief about yourself. For J, the course is a work of art, not a science project. It's a complete presentation, given on different levels. You have to grant him some artistic license. Much of the course is presented in Shakespearean blank verse, or iambic pentameter. Do you know why?
I have not a freaking idea.
Not only is it beautiful, but it forces you to read the course more slowly and carefully. Also, it tends to attract long-term students who are serious about learning it. Obviously, the course isn't for everyone, or as we said before, at least not everyone all at once. Once again, your mind has two choices to select from. We are now at a critical juncture in the seeming separation. The memory of what you are is both the answer to the separation and the principle of the atonement rolled into one. As the Course teaches about the Holy Spirit, he came into being with the separation as a protection, inspiring the atonement principle at the same time. Obviously, the Course has its own meaning for various terms, including atonement. As the text explains, the Holy Spirit has always taught the atonement. He tells you to return your whole mind to God because it has never left him. If it has never left him, you need only perceive it as it is to be returned. The full awareness of the atonement, then, is the recognition that the separation never occurred. If, at the point where we find ourselves in our story, you had chosen to believe the Holy Spirit's interpretation or response to the separation instead of the ego's, then your little dream adventure would have been over. The ego had a selfish yet tantalizing response of its own. If you continue to believe in the separation, it offers you your own individual identity, separate from God, very special and uniquely important. As Jay puts it in the text, the ego must offer you some sort of reward for maintaining this belief. All it can offer is a sense of temporary existence, which begins with its own beginning and ends with its own ending. It tells you this life is your existence because it is its own. Of course, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, and you make another numb choice. This is all new to you, and you're more than willing to give curiosity a chance to kill the cat. You choose with the ego, so you can see what it's like to be special and apart. This, in turn, causes the third division of the mind.
When you say you, I assume you mean all of us as one.
Yes. I'm not putting you down personally. I'm just trying to help you take responsibility for the power of your mind. Even Jay was there. He just didn't really believe in it as much as the rest of us, which is the main reason he woke up before the rest of us.
So the first division in the mind is consciousness, which makes me think I'm separate from God, even though I really can't be. It's like being in bed and dreaming at night. I'm still in the bed, but I can't see it. In this separation dream you're talking about, it's the dream that's real for me, and heaven is forgotten. Just like when I dream at night. It's what's in the dream that I experience and react to. And where I really am is completely out of my awareness. With the second division, I notice two ways of interpreting what's going on. One being the Holy Spirit, which is really my true self, and the other being the ego, which speaks for separation and an individual self. Now there are two parts to the mind. I take it the third division was caused when I chose the ego?
Yes, but remember, once you make a choice at this level, then that's your new condition, and your old condition is completely forgotten, walled off in the mind. Once you choose the ego and cause the third division, it's the Holy Spirit that's just a memory. You are now totally identified with the ego. However, being holographic by the grace of God, even when the mind seems to divide, each part still maintains the characteristics of the whole, so you can't ever really be lost. Both the ego and the Holy Spirit are still to be found in every mind. It's just that the Holy Spirit is being drowned out by the ego's voice because that's what you chose to listen to. And what you really are has been pushed out of your awareness. We said before that you may have forgotten the truth, but it's still there, buried in your mind.
You have no idea how powerful the mind is, my brother. At the level we're talking about, still the metaphysical level, the entire tempest in a teacup that you call the universe is about to be miscreated by just a few decisions on your part. The eventual result will be an alleged you who is now totally unaware of the real power that is available to you and instead is virtually mindless and seemingly stuck in a body.
Does this answer the age-old question, if God is really all-powerful, then could he create a rock that's so heavy he could not lift it?
Actually, it does answer that question about God, and the answer is no.
Why?
Because he's not an idiot.
And I am?
No, but you're having a dream that you are, and now you're starting to wake up. Getting back to the subject, listen to a little of what the Course has to say about the time you first substituted illusion for truth. You do not realize the magnitude of that one error. It was so vast and so completely incredible that from it a world of total unreality had to emerge. What else could come of it? Its fragmented aspects are fearful enough as you begin to look at them. But nothing you have seen begins to show you the enormity of the original error, which seemed to cast you out of heaven, to shatter knowledge into meaningless bits of disunited perceptions, and to force you to make further substitutions.
Yeah, but don't you have the same problem with this story as with the Genesis story, and God supposedly doing some of the things he did? I mean, why the hell would a part of Christ ever want to separate from God if everything was completely perfect?
First of all, in the Genesis story, God is responsible for the world you see, and you are an effect instead of the cause. In the Course, you are responsible for the world you see and not a victim of it. God and Christ are still perfect, as is heaven. And the you that you think is in this world needs to learn, by listening to the Holy Spirit, how to awaken from your dream. Now let's take a look at your other question. Is it really a question, or is it a statement? Aren't you saying that the separation from God really occurred? You can't ask how the separation could have happened unless you believe it did. Yet we have already said the principles of the atonement is that it didn't. Then you ask how Christ could have possibly chosen with the ego, when we have already said it wasn't Christ, but an illusory consciousness that appeared to do so. On top of that, you question how this stupid choice could have been made when here you are, making it again right now.
You're a smartass, you know that?
Only for teaching purposes, Gary. We love you. I'll tell you, you will never get an answer within the ego framework to that kind of a question that will satisfy you intellectually. As the Course says, the ego's voice is an hallucination. You cannot expect it to say, "I am not real." Yet you are not asked to dispel your hallucinations alone. The time will come when the answer to your question will be found outside the intellect, completely outside of the ego's system, and instead within the experience that you are still at home in God, which corrects the mistaken experience that you are not, as Jay puts it, against this sense of temporary existence. Spirit offers you the knowledge of permanence and unshakable being. No one who has experienced the revelation of this can ever fully believe in the ego again. How can its meager offering to you prevail against the glorious gift of God? So, in our story, you've chosen with the ego, and now you're identified with it. The first division made the awareness of your perfect oneness with God just a memory. The second division brought two parts to the mind. The third division has made the Holy Spirit just a memory, and the ego now has your attention. You look to it to explain to you what's going on, and the ego has a message for you. The message is this: you'd better get the hell out of here, pal. Then it proceeds to give you some reasons. In your confused state of mind, these reasons sound pretty damn convincing in their logic. Don't you know what you've done? The ego asks in our metaphorical story. You've separated yourself from God. You've sinned against Him big time. You are in for it now. You've taken paradise, everything He gave you, and thrown it right in His face and said, "Who the hell needs you?" You've attacked Him. You're dead. You haven't got a snowball's chance in hell against Him. He's awesome, and you're nothing. You've ruined everything. You're so guilty. If you don't haul ass out of here right now, it's going to be worse than death. "Oh, my God," you think in response to the ego. "What have I done?" You're right. I've ruined everything and attacked heaven. But where can I go? What can I do? I can run, but I can't hide. There's no place I can hide from God Himself. "Well, that's not exactly true," says the ego, "because I'm here to help you. I'm your friend, and I have an idea. I have somewhere we can go together. You can be your own boss and not have to face God at all. You'll never see Him. He won't even be able to get into this place." "Really?" you ask. "Well, that sounds pretty damn good to me. Let's go." "All right," says the ego. "Do exactly as I say."